This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage. It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Hillside Lawn Service, the experienced lawn care specialists.
105.7 The Fan.
News from the Nest, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, where we're talking earlier, Mike McDonald, about Chuck Smith. Addition as a pass rush guy, guru, former stud himself at the NFL level. Adape Owe is one of his pupils. Here's Adape Owe a couple of weeks back at Football School talking about what he's learned so far from Chuck Smith.
It's been good, you know, working with Chuck. He's like giving us an insight that a lot of guys, like me in particular, hasn't had, because a lot of my coaches, you know, they're great coaches, but they haven't really played the position. And, you know, he's played the position. He's trained a lot of guys that played the position at a high level, so you know, I'm getting little tidbits that, you know, I wouldn't have necessarily gotten from, you know, the past years and everything.
Yeah, Chuck Smith is, you know, having a coach. I don't know that you know, the greatest coaches in the world are all former players. I don't know that that's what it takes.
History has said they are not, right, quite frankly.
Yeah, especially guys that have been really good players. You know, a lot of times the best coaches are the ones, you know, player-wise, that, you know, didn't have all the talent in the world, you know, and had to work and, you know, and suffer through things. You know, those seem to be the best coach-type guys. So, but Chuck Smith's been great, and I think he'll be really good for these guys because, you know what, they believe in him. And he kind of lets them be themselves. They can have fun, play football, and they're getting better. And no matter what the coach is, any position or whatever, if a player sees himself or feels like he's getting better, the player's going to buy in. I don't care. It could – whoever the – you know, let's say Tom Brady is coaching quarterbacks for such and such, and he's getting worse. He's not throwing very – not doing very good. He's not going to, you know, just because he's the greatest guy in the world doesn't mean he's going to become the greatest coach in the world. No, the player's got to believe in what you're doing. And how do they believe in it? They have to be improving. And if they improve, they're going to buy into whatever coach they have.
Now with Chuck Smith, he hasn't coached since 2010.
Yep.
But he's become kind of this freelance guru, mentor to pass rushers, and you mentioned Keith Williams, who worked with Davante Adams and Sammy Watkins, among others, before he got the Ravens job. Games evolved, changed, I guess, with the rules and such, since Chuck played back in the 90s when he was making Pro Bowls and All-Pros, but I'm guessing he also sees the film, and he understands the little nuances and tricks that you can bring to the equation here, maybe get an advantage that a guy that never played it might not know instinctively.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, an extremely good point, because he's done it. He's done it all, and he's done it at a high level. And I'm sure that he's got some tricks of the trade. When we had Bruce Smith in Washington, he worked with Chris Samuels, our rookie offensive tackle at the time, and because he knew Chris was going to be a good player, he was showing him, here's how guys are going to try to beat you. You know, so he was basically coaching, you know, as a pass rusher to the offensive tackle. He was teaching Chris what you know, the ins and outs of our pass rushers and what guys are going to try to do to him. So, yeah, that veteran elite player, especially if he can communicate the things that he's learned, why he's done them, how he does them, you know, I think that's big. But back with, you know, Chuck, he hadn't been coaching. He's been teaching these guys, learning, you know, so every year he's, like Bob said, he's got to stay up to date on what's going on because he's getting guys from the combine every year. He's getting pro guys that come in every year, you know, so, and they're telling him what's happening in the game, and I'm sure he studies a ton of film and all those things too when he's watching video of these guys. So I think it's going to be a huge, huge advantage. Harbs told me last year, you know, he was trying to get a pass rush type guru. And he told me, he says, I called Chuck Smith. He said, but, and John just wanted him to come in like for a couple weeks, like during training camp or OTAs, one of those times. And he was too busy. He's booked.
Right.
You know, so he just hired him, you know, this year. So, you know, I think it's going to be good for them.
Now, with the Dape Owe, we can sit here and evaluate him. Nolan can evaluate him. You, the fan, you can evaluate him as well. Well, here's a Dape Owe. He was asked a couple weeks ago to evaluate himself based on last year.
A year to develop and things like that. I got better, not just, you know, on the field, just because knowing what I can work on, but, you know, mentally and, you know, as a player, as a professional, learning from things you can work on and building on it. As a man and everything. So, you know, I feel like, you know, it was a good season for me in that aspect.
Vinny, you watch the film after every game.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 3 sacks on the season, 1 against Buffalo October the 2nd, didn't get another sack until December the 4th, which is, what, 2 months, basically?
Yeah.
And then had half sacks down the stretch there.
Yeah.
Did he learn as the season went on?
If he did, it's slow learning. I mean, Bob, he did have 7 tackles for loss.
Right.
You know, which is, let's look at the positive. He had 11 quarterback hits. He had 43 tackles. Played the run. He played the run pretty well. You know, so he does that good, setting the edge and doing those kind of things. Bob, I mean, when you're talking about pass rushers and when you talk about any guy, when you're talking about pass rushers, what are you talking about? How many sacks he have? You know? And if he doesn't have a lot, I had 3. Oh, you didn't have a very good year then. I mean, that's how people are going to look at it. And he's got, and even Mike McDonald said, he's got to put up the number. You know, you get close, you're around. No, now you got to finish. It's about finishing. You're going into what? Year 3? You got to finish. Finish the play. Finish the sack. That's why we drafted you. First round pick, it's about stats. You know, you want that 50-year option picked up? They're not going to pick it up because you got better as a man and you got better mentally and all those things. They're going to look at the numbers. When we talked about Lamar's contract, what were we talking about? How do you get comparables? The numbers. And his numbers right now say he's just a guy.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. To that topic, news from the Nest. Sack opportunities, you know, he was in the ballpark, no pun intended, getting close, coming up short. How do you feel about that, and what did you learn?
Like I said, it's like that's how life is. You know, you have you know, times that you don't get it, but it's what you do next, and you can pick yourself up. You know, a lot of times I was close, but it lets me know that when it does click, and you know, when everything goes how I want to, I'm gonna soar. So you gotta look at it like that way, not the negative way. So that's how I view it.
Well, nothing's ever gonna go exactly how you like. You gotta create, and that's the thing that he's gotta do. He's gotta create opportunities. And the biggest thing that I see with him is his consistency. You know, he's inconsistent, and you know, he can't. He, as John Harbaugh would say, he doesn't stack sacks.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, you know, even when we were talking about Justin Houston, what, the first 7 games or whatever, he had 9.5 sacks. It was like he was like the leading sacker in the league. You know,
he was getting 2 a week for a while.
Yeah, and then what happens to him is, you know, he's older guy, so he gets tired. But you know what's happened to him is he's the only real sack guy they got. He's getting doubled. And always not that guy. Always the guy that they single to, and you get the worst guy blocking him. They're not chipping on him. And that's he's got to take advantage of that stuff.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, let's count some cash. Hopefully, midweek style, buy or sell. Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com. Go down on the farm with him. Talk about what's happening in that Orioles minor league system. We're going to have an American League East report as well. NFL lunch coming up 1 o'clock. Going to shift to the offense here a little bit from Todd Monken and the offensive studs as they get ready for the upcoming season. A lot of optimism about this Ravens offensive potential. Dr. Scott Adams talks about the Cedric Mullins groin issue, grade 3, I believe they said it was.
Two.
Grade 2. So what does that mean in the grand scheme of things? And then we have Mark Long joining us. Jacksonville, Associated Press, the Jags, they made the playoffs. Won a game? Or are they ready to take the next step in a powerful American football conference?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles and Guardians coming up at 3:05. We have the lineups. We'll share them with you later on in the hour. But right now, let's count some money, hopefully, buy or sell.
Well, Bob, the Dow's down 264. The S&P's down 33. NASDAQ is down 102. DraftKings is down 20 cents. Under Armour's down 22 cents. So the Fed hike worries persist.
Well, let's start here in the NFL. And the wide receiver that everyone has their eyes on right now, the big free agent that everyone wants to know where he's going, not talking about DeAndre Hopkins, talking about Antonio Brown, because the other day, perusing the internet, I see that he was trying to suit up for his own arena football team, play for them. I don't know if that actually happened or not, but then shortly after that, another headline that there is serious reported interest among NFL teams in signing AB. Well, it's important to note that the source that is telling us that or reporting that, it's his agent, J.R. Rickert. I think I already know where this is going here, Vinny, but are you buying or selling the reported interest in AB?
Selling. I don't think there's a soul wanting him. The headache is way bigger than the production. No, thank you.
Yeah, last time he saw him on the field, he took his jersey off and peaced out in the middle of a game. And then napalmed Tom Brady after the play.
And think about everything that's happened outside of football since then.
Right.
It's not even football anymore. We'll go over to baseball here. The Yankees, Domingo Germán, back from his suspension, and he's making some changes to his pitching routine, or at least his usage of rosin, as he puts it. Says he's going to have to use less, maybe like he did in years past, was his quote, because, well, it'd be stupid to keep doing what he did that got him suspended. But back when he was ejected from that game, ultimately suspended, the umpire that was inspecting his hand said that it was, quote, the stickiest I've ever felt and definitely not rosin. Well, I guess that's up for debate, but he did get off to a pretty decent start this year, sub-4 ERA and 10 starts, but buy or sell, Bob, his numbers will take a dip here in the near future without, as he calls it, extra rosin.
I'll sell it. He'll figure out a way to maybe, skirt the system. But he got popped twice. Once they just say, go wash your glove, and they let him come back out. And then the second time, and as you said, the ump's like, we couldn't get it off our hands. It was so, you know, sticky and, you know, substancey. But he'll figure something out. Those professional athletes can be quite crafty. And he's not a bad pitcher, by the way. He's actually pretty good.
Over to the NFL again here. The new fair catch kickoff rules. They really don't seem to have many supporters. We know John Harbaugh certainly isn't one of them. But how about the returners themselves in Dallas? Kevontae Turpin says the new rules will not change the way he approaches kickoffs. His quote here says, I'm not fair catching anything on kickoff returns. They had it in college, and I didn't fair catch. By yourself, Vinny, most of the league will share Turpin's view, and the new rules won't really limit returns.
I'll soft buy it. Because I would think at, you know, certain times in the game, the special teams coach may say, hey, you know, fair catch anything. You know, we need possession is the most important thing, and having a ball on a 25-yard line is not a bad thing.
We'll wrap up with this one here. Denver, the Nuggets, that is, enjoyed a nice little rest period here while they were waiting for that Celtics and Heat series to finish. Now it's back to business. That series starts tomorrow night. You can hear it here on The Fan. And while the team they're going to be facing is technically an 8 seed, they said it themselves, you throw out the numbers, you throw them out the window. Miami really shouldn't be viewed that way anymore, just the second 8 seed all time to make it this far into the postseason. And you look at the Nuggets' path, Timberwolves, Suns, Lakers. Buy or sell, Bob, despite being an 8 seed, the Heat are the toughest matchup on paper the Nuggets have seen so far.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I mean, they handled Milwaukee, the best record in basketball, beat the Knicks when they had the home court advantage, New York, and then handled Boston, almost gacked in a 3-0 lead, but showed the wherewithal to blow them out in Game 7. It will be a tough series for Denver, but if they win the first two games at home, they're going to win in fiver. Not to discourage you from listening, ladies and gentlemen, to the series here on 105.7 The Fan. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're going to talk to Tony Pente about what's happening down on the farm with the Birds of Baltimore here. Going to have an American League East report as well. Scott Adams joins us. Well, it's NFL lunchtime. Maybe we'll improvise and adapt NFL lunch at 1:15. And then Mark Long's going to be joining us. Jacksonville Jaguars covers them for the Associated Press. They made the playoffs last year. Will they take the next step? Have really good young quarterback, really good young running back. Do they have the weapons? Who's the guy? Calvin Ridley's coming back after a year's suspension. Are they a team that even though they made the playoffs last year, we might be overlooking in the powerful AFC? So we'll talk to Mark about that at 1:30.
MLB, NFL, NCAA. Get it all right here. 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, Orioles and Guardians coming up at 3:05. Give you the lineups here. Couple of minutes, series finale. Birds win last night, 8-5. Trying to win the series today. Then it's off to San Francisco. Taking on the Giants, who have won 11 of their last 15 ball games. But let's find out what's happening down on the farm, as we do every week. He's with OrielsHangout.com, joining us on the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. That was Linda Ronce, that wasn't it? There you go, singing a Buddy Holly tune. But he is Tony Pente. Tony Pente, what's happening, my friend? How you doing?
Good, man. You guys going Linda Ronstadt. That's pretty impressive. Well, you guys going deep on that women crush.
That is actually that's the audience picking the songs. Or maybe not. Nolan might have just played it on his own. He does go rogue from time to time there, Tony. Let's talk about down on the farm outfield depth. And we know Colton Cowser is legit, number two prospect in the organization. And yesterday, Mike Elias was noncommittal as to whether or not he would have been the call-up given the Cedric Mullins injury moot point, because he's banged up right now himself. But two-parter, is Cowser a center fielder to the point where he plays it quality? And who's the next guy? Who's at least a Ryan McKenna level dude that could play center field in a pinch if they ascend that far up the Orioles ladder here?
Yeah, you know, I think Kowser has improved enough out there defensively. He runs well enough. He can play center field right now. I don't know if long-term he's going to be the guy you want out there. He's a big guy. I mean, he's 6'3". He looks like he's well over 200 pounds now. He still runs well. He's a young guy. But I do think he's going to slow up here, and he probably won't be a guy you want center field long term. But can he come up here and play center field right now and play it effectively? I think he can. The next guy up is going to be probably Hunter Haskins. I mean, when you look at him, he's just coming back off of a quad injury. But he's coming back. He's back at Bowie. He's through his rehab right now, and he should be back at Norfolk probably by next week. You'll see him over there. So, you know, that's probably your next guy up. I think he is literally the Ryan McKinnon-like kind of guy. When you look at them, their skill sets are very, very close. And if Ryan McKinnon gets a little expensive or gets to be the point where he's not doing very well, I think Hunter Haskins could be the guy that gets that call at some point.
Now, with Grayson Rodriguez, who we'll talk about in a second, heading back down to Norfolk, you're wondering who's going to fill his spot in rotation. Keegan Aiken gets the start today. He's opener. Austin Voth probably will get the brunt of the work. But we're wondering, well, where the hell is D.L. Hall? Pitching 3 innings here, 4 innings there. 24 years old now. What's going on with D.L.? We figured this Tony Pentee would be the year we see him at least get some meaningful innings with the Orioles, but not seeing it just yet.
Yeah, it's been his velocity has been down all year. You know, he's not throwing where he was last year. You know, he was averaging 96 last year. This year, you're seeing him average closer to 94. The command still has not been there consistent. You know, to me, again, I think he's a reliever. I think he showed well last year as a reliever. The stuff ticked up last year when he was in the pen at the end of the year. And I can understand why the Orioles want to keep giving him looks as a starter in some senses, right? Because, I mean, when you look at it, he can throw 4 pitches. You kind of hope that he's the kind of lefty that one day can give you that 5 or 6 innings, but he can rarely do that in the minor leagues. You know, this is a guy that, you know, they kind of pulled down his pitch limit down a little bit. So he's only throwing 2, 3, 4 innings now. I watched him last night. He threw real well for the first 2 innings, 3rd inning, starts losing the command, starts going. And we've seen that from him, you know, so I'm hoping the Orioles at some point make the decision, go ahead, put him in the pen. I think he could be another impact guy out there in the pen, especially from that left side.
Tony Pentee, OrielsHangout.com, joining us here at Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, as he does every Wednesday. Now, Grayson Rodriguez, don't want to dismiss him as a prospect. He's still one of the top pitching prospects in all of baseball, but he's pitched himself off the team twice, essentially, in spring training, where we all thought he was coming north with Baltimore, and then got clobbered in May, and the start against Texas was kind of rough to watch there. You talk about command issues. How does he get that back together? Because we know the stuff's going to play here eventually in Baltimore.
Yeah, you know, the main issue that I've seen is ever since he's had that lat injury, that command's not been there. It wasn't there at the end of last year in the minor leagues and hasn't been there all season, except for just little flashes here and there. Another big problem that he has is not just command, but boy, he just has, he has not shown the ability to not allow a bad play behind him or a bad hit or dink or doink that gets in. It seems to affect him. And it seems like he starts trying to pump the ball, you know, tries to throw it 100 miles an hour. He ends up in the middle of the plate and he ends up getting crushed. And I think there's a mental aspect to this that he's going to need to improve a little bit on. I was a little disappointed on that. I thought things that I'd seen in the past in the minor leagues. But then the more I thought about it is he really didn't struggle all that much in the minor leagues. So this is kind of the first time that he's gone through struggles. And I would say that maybe he is handling it the best way. And I think, again, he earned himself a demotion despite the fact that he has good stuff. And he does have major league stuff. This is a guy that when he puts it all together, I think it's going to be a quality major league starter. Is he going to potentially be that tour starter that we're hoping to be? I'm not going to say you can. I don't think you can rule it out yet. Obviously, the first 10 starts are a disappointment. I think anyone that realistically is going to tell you that. But the talent is there. He has the ability. I think he just needs to go down and hopefully find that command, find that mental aspect of it, come back up here and be a guy.
Hey, Tony, what about guys like Cole Irvin and Bruce Zimmerman? You think they'll be up soon? I mean, they had better weeks last week.
Yeah, I think Irvin's probably the next guy online. If they need a starter, you know, I think I was a little surprised that he wasn't the guy. I'm surprised they're going a little bit into a bullpen game today. He's been throwing the ball better, you know, down there. He's still not missing a lot of bats, but that's really not his game anyway. But he's, you know, I do think we're going to see Cole Irvin be that fifth starter for the Orioles once they kind of settle this all down, until Grayson Rodriguez hopefully can get his act together and hopefully maybe be back up here maybe in the second half of the season. Zimmerman, you know, again, he's off and on. He pitches well. We kind of know what he can do. He's probably more a guy that could come up here and maybe give him some bulk relief if they need some.
What about Jackson Holliday? How was his week?
Pretty good. Holliday's just been amazing. I mean, when you're watching what he's doing, I mean, he had one bad game this week where he struck out four times. But for the most part, you know, this guy is just getting on base. He's hitting the ball with authority. He's playing pretty solid defense over in shortstop. He's doing very special things. I mean, he has an OPS. His runs created is over 200. His runs created plus is over 200. And there's only two minor league players in all of baseball that has that at this juncture. That shows you how good he's doing. Right now, he's really doing things we haven't seen a prospect do that's been in the Orioles system. So got to be really excited about what he's doing. And I would not be surprised if he's not a guy that's playing in Double-A within the next couple of weeks.
Tony Petty, OrielsHangout.com. Tony, before we let you roll, let's think outside the box of the guys we normally talk about. How about we get a little love to Creed Williams here? He was an eighth-round pick 2 years ago, got promoted up to Aberdeen. He has already hit a home run today. We know that the Orioles are set behind the plate for the foreseeable future with Adley Rutschman. But tell our listeners about Creed Williams, and aside from the mullet, why we need to keep an eye on this dude for the next couple of months here.
Well, I tell you what, first off, that's a first-class mullet, and anybody who watches this guy, he's so fun to watch. And not just – I'll talk about baseball here in a second, but he's a fun guy. I mean, this guy gets over, hits a double, pumps a couple arms. I mean, he seems like he's always motivating his teammates. He seems like he's that guy that you just want on the team. You know, he obviously looks like a 30-year-old beer league softball player. But at the end of the day, this guy can hit, and he's been the breakout guy in this system. I mean, yeah, they gave him $1 million a couple of years ago, but he was absolutely terrible last year in Delmarva. Couldn't really do anything, wasn't hit for power, wasn't making a lot of contact. But this year, boy, tell you what, talking about a guy that came in different at the plate. I mean, he's making loud contact consistently. He earned his promotion to get up to Aberdeen. He's only 19 years old. And defensively, he's a solid catcher. Yes, he's a little chubby guy back there, but he moves well. He throws really well. And he seems like kind of like has that Adley Rutschman kind of, you know, communication with the pitchers. You could tell he's out there. He's very jovial with them. He's pumping them up. He's definitely been a guy that's been a nice surprise in the system. He's flown up our prospect list. And I believe right now, I think I have him sitting at 12 in the organization, and he could very well be in the top 10 by midseason.
Tony, are you cool with Aaron Hicks getting to the Major League Club, at least for the next few weeks here?
Look, I'm being all positive today, and now you're going to have to throw something at me. That move is what it is. I mean, I think they just need somebody to fill in the center field right now. I do believe Kowser would have been the call if he was healthy. I think they need Kowser to take some time to get healthy. And then I would imagine that if Hicks is not doing well, he's going to be the guy that's probably going to be jettisoned. This is a guy who hasn't really been good since 2021 and only in stages in 2021. And he's 33 years old, and he's slowed down. He's at 48th percentile in running now, which makes him slightly below average. That tends to be not the guy you want out in center field. You know, when you look at McKenna, he's an 81% runner. So let's see what he does. I think he's kind of here as a placeholder. At least we hope so. Let's see what he could do. But, I don't think that's an impact signing.
Well, you sound like a Nolan talking about Demarius Williams, DeMarcus Robinson. Excuse me. I can't even remember who he is anymore. D-Rob, the wide receiver for the Ravens. Tell everybody what's happening at OrielsHangout.com.
Well, over at the message board, you can find all the information on all the prospects. Watch that prospect rankings, power rankings. We update it every week, so you can watch guys go up and down. You can see everything that's happening about them and join in on the conversation with a lot of great Oriole fans.
Tony, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
All right, guys. Have
Thanks,
a great
Tone.
Day.
Vinny at 81057 The Fan. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Got an American League East update standings-wise. Look at a couple of scores from last night as well. We'll take your phone call. Scott Adams is going to be joining us. Talk about grade two.
Yeah.
With grade two, is that what it is? Groin abductor for Cedric Mullins. What's the normal recovery time? And if things don't improve, is surgery part of the equation? NFL lunch coming up at 1:15. And Mark Long covers the Jacksonville Jaguars, playoff team last year, covers them for the Associated Press. We talk about the Ravens and the Bengals and the Chiefs and the Bills and the Jets, and rightfully so. But are we forgetting about a team that might be capable of winning the AFC Championship?
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
High fly ball, deep left field. Pollock back. He's on the track. He's at the wall. He leaps. See ya. A home run for Judge. Another one. He's done it again.
Michael Kay, Yes Network on the call. As Aaron Judge hit his 18th homer of the season. Back-to-back nights, the Yankees have clobbered the Mariners. 10-2 was the final score yesterday. So New York, after the Orioles handled them, 2 out of 3 in the Bronx last week, they won 4 in a row. They're playing as well as anyone. And they were playing well before the Orioles took 2 out of 3 last week. Also in the American League East, it was Toronto 7-2 over Milwaukee. Vlad Jr., 3-for-5 with a ribby there. Home run, of course. Well, ribby, sorry. Cincinnati, they beat Boston 9-8. Jose Barrera hit a grand slam. The Reds have now won 4 games in a row as they're actually showing a pulse in the NL Central. It was Chicago 2-1 over Tampa. Second straight night that the Cubbies have maintained, or contained, I should say, one of the top offenses in baseball. Shea McClanahan suffered his first loss of the season. Now 8-1 on the season. Today, Tampa Bay's at Chicago, the Cubs again, Milwaukee at Toronto again, Cincinnati at Fenway again, and the Yankees at Seattle again. Standings in the American League East, Tampa 3 games up on the Orioles, Yankees are 5 games off the pace, Toronto is 9 out, and Boston struggling right now, losers of 2 in a row, 6 of 10, they're 9.5 out. Division leaders, you have Minnesota 2 up on Detroit, Texas 3 up on Houston, Atlanta, they've lost 2 in a row to the A's.
Yeah.
But they're 4 games up on the Mets and the Marlins. Brujas, a game up on the Pirates. And the Dodgers, game and a half up on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Lineups for today's game against the Cleveland Guardians. The Orioles, Adam Frazier leading off at second base. Adley Rutschman behind the plate. Anthony Santander is your DH, batting third. Ryan Mountcastle cleaning up at first. Gunnar Henderson is at third base, batting fifth. Aaron Hicks in center field, batting sixth in center field. His debut with the Orioles, 1-for-8 lifetime against Bieber, 7 Ks and a home run. Ryan O'Hearn, who's, 5-for, let me just confirm this one, he's 5-for-16 with a homer against Bieber. So O'Hearn's in right field, though. I mean, not exactly, you know, the Gold Glove outfield expecting, but it is what it is. Jorge Mateo at shortstop, batting eighth, and Ryan McKenna is in left field. Keegan Aiken will be the opener for the Orioles today. It looks like Austin Voth will get the depth, depending on when he comes in. And if you're Hyde, give me 3. Give me 3, Keegan. Make it quick. You know, Cleveland's not exactly the most explosive offensive team, but they've put up a couple of crooked numbers against the Orioles during this series so far. For the Indians, managed by Terry Francona, Stephen Kwan in left field, teammates with Adley in college, of course, at Oregon State. Ahmad Rosario, shortstop. Jose Ramirez batting third at third. Josh Naylor cleaning up at first. Josh Bell, DH, batting fifth. Gabe Arias is in right field, batting sixth. Andres Jimenez at second base, batting seventh. Miles Straw, batting eighth in center field. And Cam Gallagher, who had a couple of ribbies the other night for Cleveland, he is batting ninth behind the plate. Cam Gallagher is a guy that went 2-for-3 against the Orioles on Memorial Day and raised his average to 125. So he made his hits count in the series opener. If the Orioles win, they win the series. They're off tomorrow. Then they hit the road for San Francisco, taking on the Giants. The Giants have won 11 of their last 15 ball games. No BBT today or tomorrow because the Orioles are off. We're back at it. Me and Mike Bordick live from the studio coming up on Friday night, getting you ready for that West Coast trip. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Bruce in Middle River. Bruce, what's happening?
How you doing, Phil?
Hey, what's right, going Bruce. On, Bruce?
I think Mr. Gibson's been a very good acquisition.
He's been outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, 7-3 his last
and if
three.
If I'm mistaken, didn't he pitch three times when the Orioles were shut out?
He's got zero run support, literally, in all three of his losses.
I got you, brother. Oh, one other thing.
Yes.
If Dobbins and Gus, the bus, don't have a good year rushing, I don't think we're going far, my friend.
All right, Bruce, thank you for the call. I'm not worried about the running game right now. Do they bring in another back, though? I mean, we're still...
Hill's pretty good, too, Bob. I mean, you know, and I'm expecting... You know, knock on wood, that Dobbins and Edwards are going to be a lot better than they were last year because they're 2 years off the knee. So I'm expecting them to be really good. And, you know, Dobbins is all upset or whatever. You know, I mean, he's playing for a contract.
He was running hot after that playoff game.
Yeah. So, show me.
So Hill was re-signed, so they like him enough.
They gave him a 2-year contract. Bob, he is... outstanding covering punts. Outstanding. You know, being the gunner.
So I think...
And kick returns, he's good.
As Lamar wants to run less, or maybe Todd Monken wants him to run less, which we'll talk about coming up at 1:15 during NFL lunch, then others are going to have to pick up the slack. But we talk about J.K. Dobbins. He really hasn't had a significant workload since his last year at Ohio State, which was, what, 2019?
Yeah.
Because in 20, he was sharing carries with a couple of guys. Then he missed all of 21. And then last year, again, kind of a sharing the carries with Gus Bus. But when he got cleaned up after the midway point of the season, we started to see J.K. Dobbins resemble the guy that we saw his rookie year.
Yeah, because he started 8 games as all. Bobby only had 92 carries. The guy who had all the carries last year was Kenyon Drake. He had 109.
Right.
You know,
he was inactive towards the.
Yeah, Gus Bus had 87. So that the biggest place that these guys are going to improve upon in this offense, my opinion, is receiving. J.K. Dobbins had 7, Gus Edwards had 0. And Justice Hill had 12. And Justice Hill's good out of the backfield. I mean, we saw it as a kick returner. You know, I don't know. I can't recall how Dobbins was, you know, in college, you know, catching balls out of the backfield. I don't imagine Gus Bus being great at it, bigger guy, you know. But I think Dobbins is such a violent type runner that I would think he'd be good out of the backfield.
Right, let's get one more call before we get to the top of the hour. Dr. Scott Adams is going to be talking about grades of abductor strains and the severity of it. Then we got NFL lunch at 1:15, and we're going to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, who will be playing the Ravens this year over in London. Mark Long covers them for the Associated Press. Let's go to Rosedale. It's Antonio. Antonio, how are you?
How you guys doing?
Good. Hey, Antonio.
I'm doing good. What is more of a concern right now, Cedric Mullins' injury or the Orioles' bullpen starting to not get out? And you guys have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you, Antonio. I personally would lead towards the Mullins injury because they don't have a true replacement for him. With the bullpen maybe getting a little bit overworked in some instances, I think there are other options for them. I mean, Givens is back. Tate got shut down Friday, as he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. But I would think the guy at the top of your lineup who sets the pace for the offense, leads your team in ribbies, and is one of the top defensive center fielders in the game, I'm thinking his absence might be more of an immediate concern, but we'll let all of this play out. 3:05 first pitch, Orioles and Guardians will come back. Speaking of Mullins, talk about the severity of his injury with Dr. Scott Adams. Got some NFL lunch coming your way. We're going to switch to the Ravens offensively. Going to hear from Todd Monken. Going to hear from Harbs. Going to hear from Lamar Jackson himself about the excitement level they have for the upcoming season of 23. And then we'll, speaking of exciting, I'm guessing Jacksonville fans rather pumped about their prospects for this season. Mark Long covers them for the Associated Press at 1:30.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.